Now, I guarantee the Last Supper did not look like that. That's Leonardo da Vinci's interpretation of what happened. I think they certainly had a U-shaped table, not a long one like that, and I don't think they were as feminine looking as Peter is there. He looks like Mary Magdalene, I think, next to Jesus. But it's nice to remember and signify or portray the Lord's Supper. God is always about remembering and looking back and looking forward. There's so many fulfillments in this Passover story, which is a pretty gruesome story that we heard about, you know, slaughtering the cows and the, you know, the sheep and the goats. I'm so glad that we live in New Testament times and we don't have to go through all that blood. I'm not very good with blood. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we live in a different time. Now, there's just two sacraments that Jesus told his disciples to remember and to practice. Do you know what they are? Baptism and Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. The two that he commanded them to continue. I had a baptism yesterday in the Heritage Church, Little Sophia, and a part of the story, just in the coming to baptism, is part of this Exodus story where the Israelites travelled, you know, through the seas, through the waters of baptism, so to speak. And God wants us to remember things, just like Amy talked about before, birthdays, baptism, ceremonies. We do love to remember what God has done in the past. And it's life-changing. The Passover actually started the Israelites' new calendar. God said to them, as they were preparing the Passover, "This is the first month of your year. Your year starts again. Everything is different now. We are starting again. This is the first month of your year. And this is what you're to do on the 10th day. You choose your lamb. And he lives with you for about 4 days. Make sure there's no defects and it's pretty perfect. And on the 14th day, after you've got to know him for 4 days and you're very fond of him, you need to slaughter that animal and put his blood on the doorpost for a reason that we'll get to very shortly. But God wants them to remember. I put something funny in Google this morning. I said, when did the calendar AD start? And do you know what it said? It was the funniest answer. It said, 1st of January 1 AD. Was that the dumbest answer? That was so funny. Anyway, that's what I did with my morning. But it was... because Jesus' birth changed everything too. We had a new calendar then as well. But today we're looking at this memorial day that the Israelites were told to keep as a feast to the Lord throughout generations, a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast, God said. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, "What do you mean by this service?" you shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses." Now we're going to actually experience a Christian Passover meal on Maundy Thursday, which is the 28th of March. And Brian's going to tell us a bit more about that. We'd love you all to come along and just experience what that would be like. We're not going to slaughter lambs, but we'll eat lamb. I do like lamb. But I'm not going to go over all the elements of the meal and the Passover festival today, because we're going to do that then. But we're just going to look at some main points in the story and how it all points to Jesus. So let me pray. God, thank you so much for the stories that are written in the Bible as a history of your people, so that we can come to know you more and understand just what lengths you went to redeem us, to save us, and that you always had a plan for the salvation of all people, that you want relationship. And we thank you for the stories of the past that we can learn from. Have your way in us today. Help us to learn more about you and teach us to appreciate your faithfulness and your covenant and your love. Amen. So picking up the story from last week, the Israelites had been in slavery for about 400 years. They had gone there as 70 people. They were the descendants of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Joseph was there. 70 people, little family, went over to live there for a while. After a while, different pharaohs came up. The ones that knew Joseph and his story had passed on, and the new pharaohs treated the Israelites as slaves. Now, in this situation, the Israelites still grew to a great multitude, so many, in fact, that in the Exodus, when they were leaving, they had grown to about 2 million people. So this nation had really grown, and that was part of God's promises to Israel to start with. You will be a great nation, many people. Your descendants will be as many as sand on the shores or stars in the sky, he said to Abraham once upon a time. And he was going to give them the promised land. And so this is part of God's plan now, to rescue his people out of slavery and bring them to the promised land as part of his fulfillment to his people. And so he chose Moses. Reluctant Moses, who argued every argument under the sun, no, send someone else, I can't talk, I don't want to do that. And we can see why. If you've read the plagues that God sent on Egypt, if you saw how much Moses had to argue with Pharaoh, you can understand why Moses didn't want the job. And especially with all the Israelites complaining against him, saying, you know, you've come here to make our life harder. The slave drivers are making us work harder now, just because you're here trying to get us set free. It was a tough job, and we can see why he didn't want to get to do it, but we see now God is finally bringing Pharaoh to his wits' end, and the people will be set free. So he sent many plagues, and this is the final plague, the Passover, where the Israelites would save their firstborn by putting blood over their doorposts. A pretty horrible thing to do. But on this is a step of faith that the Israelites had to do. People ask, well, why couldn't God just spare the Israelites' houses and not let anyone die in those houses? Why did they have to use the blood? Well, there's a blood covering. There's always been a blood covering, a substitution for sin. There's always been sacrifices of blood for atonement, for forgiveness of sins. And we know that all this points to Jesus down the track. And so they had to actually obey God's commands to slaughter the lamb, to do the blood, to eat as if they were ready to travel. And they did it faithfully, in the same way that we are all called to respond to God in faith. Yes, he can just protect us. He can just look after us. And we are. All people are God's people. We are all rightfully his. But at some point in our lives, God calls people to actually make a choice, to actually choose to put their faith in him, to come under the blood of his son, to say, Jesus died for me and I receive forgiveness through his blood, protection through his blood. I come under his salvation that he offers to save us from slavery to sin, not slavery in Egypt like them, but slavery to sin he saves us from and promises a new, greater fulfillment in our promised land. And so God asked the Israelites to do this, and those who faithfully did what God said, who acted out faith, they were unharmed. No one died in their household. And so they were, the next day when everyone in Egypt was wailing, Pharaoh finally said, okay, go, get out of here. And the Israelites were ready to go on their way back to the promised land. And among them were many other nations of people as well. It shows us that God always had a plan to bring all people under his covenant with his grace. God is faithful to his promises and gracious to all people, and he wants to save us all. So in the same way, through faith, we become part of God's family, become part of his people today, through Jesus Christ and his blood shed for us. Jesus is the spotless, blameless Lamb of God, just like those lambs slaughtered in the Passover. Do you know the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey was that 10th day of Nisan, when all of the Israelites were choosing their lamb? That's the day you choose your lamb. You hold on to it for 4 days, just, you know, making sure it hasn't got a blemish. And over those next 4 days, this Jesus, the Lamb of God, he was put through scrutiny too. He was trialed and tested. He was found to be blameless, nothing wrong. The rulers could actually find nothing against him. And he was going to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Even when Jesus went forward for his baptism, John declared, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was inspected and given a mock trial and found innocent and blameless before his death on the cross. And at the same time he died on the cross, it's the same time the lambs were slaughtered at the Passover. Same time. And so just like Passover lambs didn't have their bones broken, you might not have picked that up in the text, but those lambs were not to have their bones broken. Jesus, none of his bones were broken either as he died on the cross. So the prophetic word found even a greater fulfillment. The Passover has found even greater fulfillment in Jesus and his sacrifice in the Passover meal. So just as Jesus was eating the last Passover with his disciples before he died, and he had desired so much to eat it with them, he knew that he was going to die as a substitute, as a lamb, as a substitute for the sins of the whole world. And he was willing to go through that and be a sacrifice for us, for our redemption. So as he's eating this Passover meal and they come to the third cup, it says after supper, they would have had the lamb just picking up the third cup. That's a ritual in the Passover meal. It's the cup of redemption. The third cup is the cup of redemption. And he held this cup and he says, "I want you to drink this cup in remembrance of me." Passover is different now. Could you imagine those disciples sitting in the same room? They've always done Passover. This was passed on to them from generation to generation to generation. That's what the Israelites did. Tradition. And Jesus says, "I'm making it different now. I'm changing it now. This you do now in remembrance of me." Not just remembrance of your people being freed from slavery in Egypt, but also in me being a sacrificial lamb, a substitute for your sin, so you can be free from slavery to sin for all people of all time. Now, we know that the sacrificial system, the temple was destroyed shortly after Jesus' death, about 70 AD, and it was not needed, this cult system, anymore, because Jesus was the one final substitute for sin. No more is needed. He was the final sacrifice for all time. He laid down his life for us, for all people. God was doing a new thing. His sacrifice is sufficient for the sins of the whole world. It's a blood covering for all people, for anyone who put their faith in him can find redemption and pass from death to life as we journey towards our promised land, a promise in eternity with Christ forever. Now, God is faithful to his promises and gracious to his people. He will continue to keep these covenant promises to us and all people for all time. So as we take Holy Communion today, as we take this sacrament shortly, just remember just the depth of what Jesus did for you and how this is actually entwined right in God's story, right from the beginning, right back from the Exodus, and all it means for us today to be set free from all that holds us back from living as God's people, as God intended, as people who are free to love, free to serve, free to dance, free to sing his praises and his faithfulness. We remember. We remember. So as he does a new thing in the Holy Communion, may he do a new thing in us today and every week when we take it, because God is always doing a new thing. His Spirit is always moving. He cannot be contained. And he will continue to work in our lives to bring us to the true freedom and the true end that he has for us. Let me pray. Jesus, you're the Savior of the world, the great Redeemer, the Lamb of God, our substitute, our sacrifice for sin, the one who gives us eternal deliverance. We thank you that you died to set us free from slavery to sin. We pray for more freedom today. We pray that we can walk in freedom. And we thank you for laying down your life for us. It's a huge sacrifice, and we thank you that you care enough to do that, that you love us so much, you're willing to die for us to live. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
No one is ever far from your loving care. In your kindness, watch over refugees, victims.